Jai Ma. It is a great joy to come together and drink the wine of the life divine. Indeed, it is so if we begin to get into its flow. And this wine is an antidote to all the various forms of delusions and illusions. I'll use a Hindi phrase. Isko peene se baki nasha utar jata hai. Chadta bhi nahi hai iske baad, because this is a new divine nasha. So when we come to the life divine, we see that we have book 1 and book 2, just to quickly get back. So book 1 is, Shobindo describes to us the building blocks of the soul creation. The creator, and then elements in the creator himself, Satchidananda, existence, consciousness, bliss. And then he touches upon the building blocks within what we experience, the mind, life, matter. So we know now all this. This is the cosmic puzzle, the jigsaw puzzle. So wonderful. This is the best puzzle that we are here to solve. Some people get very worried or get, oh my God, world is a puzzle. But it's very fascinating if we look at it from one point of view. It helps to stretch us. It helps us to grow. Otherwise we would be just like automatons. They have no puzzle, no challenges. But when reality challenges us, then it's something very interesting and wonderful, because it helps us to grow, evolve. So therefore, the life divine is, I feel, among the must reads, because it helps us to grow, evolve, not just intellectually, but every which way. Because based on our intellectual conceptions, our everyday life will be how we lead it, why we do what we do. All this comes from there. People often wonder why we Indians have spent so much time in trying to figure out whether this is Maya or Brahman, illusion or real. We must understand, because of this, as a great poet has said, well, we are not going into his antecedents of later what he did. Kuch to hai ki mitti nahi hasti hamari. There is some reason, and it's true, that when we look at the world scenario, things have come and gone, philosophies, religions, civilizations. But something is there about India that how much ever, and perhaps no one has faced that many attacks as any other civilization, and continues to face. And yet we grow stronger. And what is the reason? Because our base is so strong. And there was a reason why people at some point of time used to engage in all these discussions, debates. We see in King Yajnavalkya's assembly and various courts, because if we have a strong foundation in our understanding, then we can lead life so much better. Now, of course, we have WhatsApp telling us everything. Best way to kill everything, curiosity, it raises the question, it gives the answer, everything. And we don't know where is that, it doesn't even tell us where is this answer coming from. And I am reminded of, at the risk of repeating the movie, I think film has been made on that, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they all know the answer is 42, but they don't know what is the question. So we all say world is Maya, Brahma is Satya, but we don't know why this problem came into existence. And then when we see, Shobindo first states the problem, thesis. Then he states everything which contradicts it. Then he takes us to a greater synthesis. This is the method. And it's wonderful. Even for the mind, it's such an intellectual journey. So we come to this book one. Is primarily about the building blocks. Book 2 is in two parts, part 1, part 2. So part 1, he takes up all that seems to contradict each other and he reconciles them. And then in part 2, which is the penultimate part, now Shobindo After doing this, first he has to clear the confusions in the mind. You know, everybody has various confusions. For example, one of the common confusion is all life is yoga. So people take it that everything that I am doing is yoga anyways. Because Sri Aurobindo further said, it's either a subconscious yoga or a conscious yoga. Everything, if everything is yoga, everything is done by the mother, then there is nothing required. We become automatons. And we become prey to all kinds of forces. So he raises, he clarifies all these cobwebs which we are carrying. And then in part two, when the ground is ready, then he builds the building of the new creation. It's so wonderful to read it. So in book two, part one, we have reached that point where we have entered into the cosmic illusion, because this has got such a big impress upon the Indian mind. And it's my personal feeling based on a lot of reasons, but not going into the reason. It is the cause, number one cause of the downfall of India. Strangely, it's not atheism. Atheism can be, okay, you are discussing in the mind. It helps you to build a structure. Good or bad is different, but it's a mental exercise. But Maya, this world is a Maya. The way we have understood the world is a Maya means it is an illusion. Now the fact is, if it is an illusion, then nothing makes sense except getting out of the illusion. So we have these two camps, difficult to say which one really, each has done its own way, its own service. This is the camp which takes up, this is the problem, the originating source, then there is the creation as we see it, the creator, the creation, the individual within it, the percept, the perception and the percipient, who is perceiving this world, this creation. So this is being reconciled for us, and we read last time that the theory of cosmic illusion from different standpoints as it is understood. Not only Shankara, Shankara is the grand narrative, but there are many modifications. Shankara himself modified when he introduced a practical reality, truth of reality, like, it's applicable, vyavaharik, that is the term he would use, that it's valid in a certain sphere, but it's invalid when you come out of that. But that ultimately leads to the same point, that ultimately man's real business is to get out of this illusion. Whatever way, it's practically acceptable till you are in the illusion, but your effort should be in getting out of illusion. So if that be the truth, then we see from those days when Vedas tried to reconcile world and God, and then subsequently it's impressed and ultimately the downfall, because we rejected Shakti. Sri Aurobindo says that we rejected Shakti and the Shakti rejected us. So what is Shakti and how is it related to Maya? That's what we read in one of the chapters. So Shakti is the power of the divine, original power which is there in the Lord. That power has gone forth into this creation. Pragya prashato purano. Then what is Maya? Maya is in subordinate action of that Shakti. So that Shakti has gone forth, then out of it Maya builds many, many finite seemings, finite creations, because many has to come, that's why one has to become many. And then what is Prakriti? All three, they are deriving from Shakti. Prakriti is in that limited realm. There is something, some movement, some activity, some action taking place. And that becomes Prakriti. So we read last time, Shakti, which is the power which is inherent in the divine. This is Sri Aurobindo's thesis, that the two are not separate, that they are one. And we read about how he arrives at that. And then the next is Maya. So what does Maya do? Like Mata, Mata word comes from Ma, it gives form, finite forms. Mata comes from that. So what does Mata do? Out of her own being, she brings out a little form, which you can say is a form of herself. And yet it is limited and little and it will grow. So Matra, again, medicines, matra. So Maya is the power of the divine which creates finite seemings out of the infinite. Why? Because the original command is one wants to become many. So then comes the question, which is real? Now, in a way, this question can be easily, summarily answered. So out of the tree, many seeds come. And each seed will go through its own journey, its own challenges. To an extent, almost independently, can the tree disown the seeds? They are not mine, they are not me. It'll sound strange. Because it's out of the tree the seeds have come. And can we say that this seed which has come now is cut off from that original tree? It carries something of that inside. That's how that mango seed will grow into a mango. Shubhendu has used the word real idea, which is within creation. Because the divine seed is present in creation, and because there is in it the divine idea, the real idea, that's why all of us, being divine seeds, will grow into the divine being. This is the simple logic, very simple and so beautiful. That because they are the original parents, so that is the idea. So that real idea will drive us through everything. This is the journey, maybe through all the different climates, different challenges, but eventually that's what we are bound to become. So this is the basic journey of the life divine. It's inevitable in creation because we all carry a seed of the divine, which we call, as the Shobindu uses the word, psychic being. Now, why is this psychic being suddenly so important? Because when we look at from the traditional standpoint of Mayavad, so the question is there a reality of the individual or not? This itself becomes questionable. So if you go by the traditional understanding, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, then individual has no reality really. Individual also is an illusion, created in an illusion. The world is an illusion, the individual percipient is an illusion. This is a big problem now. So all this idea, I am doing, I am realizing, I am this, all failure as success, all of them are flattened. Brahman is the only real. Obviously, it creates a problem. It created a problem even for Shankaracharya. That how to explain then? You know, then there is, if there is no reality of the individual, then what is sadhana about? What is yoga about? If there is no abiding, then who really gets free? He tried to explain it very beautifully, that there is Brahman which enters into the field of Maya, and there it acts as if it is bound. That the pragmatic explanation. But again, it doesn't really solve. It acts as if bound. That means there are two Brahmans. One which is unbound, free, eternal, infinite. Other which is bound. There are no individuals. But it gives you the sense of being an individual. So the puzzle remained unsolved. Of course, belief is a different thing. People believe in different things. They can believe, it's okay. But it contradicts at the root of our life. It contradicts. What does it contradict? Then what is my role if there is no I? Same thing with Buddha. Did the same thing, but he did it earlier. He said ultimately all this is play of nature. And ultimately nature itself, where has it emerged from? Out of the void. Again, it raises more questions than solves it. So this is where we had stopped. And then cosmic illusion, all the various explanations that have been given to us, Shobindu takes them one by one. One is illusion, as if there is nothing. Illusion is no reality, rope and the snake image. So Shobindu says this image is not correct. Why? Because when we say rope is mistaken for the snake, there is something called the rope. You can't use this image to say there is nothing really, it's all illusion in the sense of something not existing at all. Because there is a rope which is mistaken for the snake. Sri Ramakrishna has come pretty close to this idea, that you can discover that, well, it's not a snake, it's a rope. But there is something. So to that extent, yes. What that something is, we have to still discover. Sri Aurobindo will take us. Is that something only Brahman? Again, we go back to the same problem. Then what about the individual, sir? No, you have discovered that You are part of the rope and there is no part of the rope. All is one rope. Do whatever you want to. But rope and the snake implies that there is a reality in the world, but basically it's not what we perceive. Our whole perception is based on Maya. Then the question is, who is perceiving? Who is perceiving is itself, whether a creation of Maya or not, we go back. So it's like back and forth. File is going from one office to another, going back to the Bada Sahab. Bada Sahab is sending it back. And you don't know where your file is stuck. So this is one explanation, illusion. Second is hallucination. In hallucination, we don't... Shobhindra takes up all these because they are there in philosophical explanation. So what is hallucination? Hallucination is when there is nothing but we see something. So illusion and hallucination, this is the difference. Illusion, there is something, but we see it differently. Hallucination is there is nothing and we see something. So there again the question is, in hallucination we always see an image based on something which either existed or exists somewhere. This is for sure. I mean, a person hallucinates, oh, there is a snake. There may be no rope and no snake, but the snake somewhere exists. So this is the other problem, that is hallucination, this cosmic hallucination, something de novo? It's based on something which is existing. So I may experience that which is right now not there. So this analogy also goes away. Then the third is imagination. Brahman is imagining. Who else can? There is only one reality. He is imagining. What an imagination. We can't say that, you know, it's something very beautiful. We expect, you know, Satchidanand would imagine lovely, blissful things. So again, it leaves the cosmic puzzle unsolved. And there are several examples. And the one which comes closest, and with that we'll move forward, is the mud and the pot. This is the example which Sri Ramakrishna gives. Very, very beautiful, sweet example. It comes almost close to the secret, but not yet the secret. Because at the end point, if you read Swami Vivekananda and his speeches, everything is so wonderful. But at the end point, you see again the Maya comes in this way, like a flash. So what is the mud and the pot analogy? That pots are made, or gold and the ornaments, whatever way you want to put it. Mud and the pot. So pots come into existence, they can get broken. But what abides, what remains, is the mud. This is how it is described. This is transient, temporary, and therefore in a sense illusory. And this is real. Mud is the reality. Means Brahman is the reality. These figures are Brahman. They emerge out of Brahman. It's come out of Brahman. But mind you, they are all temporary and transient. But Brahman is eternal. Here comes a catch. Don't focus on this. Focus on Brahman, the eternal. Now, this is very appealing at one level to the human mind. This comes very close. But then can we say the pot is really, really unreal? It had a reality. And because it had a reality, it may again come into existence. Can we say the pot is other than the mud? It is the mud which has, pot has been made out of the mud. It's like the ornament has emerged out of gold. We can't discard this simply by saying gold is the reality, ornament is unreal. Or ornament is only temporarily. If you get too much into the ornaments, then you will forget that there is the gold there. So this also at one point, and the last one which we read last time was pearl. How is a pearl formed? And now they use all cultured. I was watching something very interesting. You know, the fishermen will take you to the sea and they say, you know, some of these fishes, they swallow the pearl and we will catch them and then we'll in front of you take the real pearl because all other pearls are artificial. See, human mind has developed such fascinating things. So they feed the fishes with this artificial pearl actually. What is artificial pearl? There is the sand. See, they know the process now. So what is the process? Ultimately, how does pearl form? the same thing, that there is a little particle which is not pearl particle. There is nothing like pearl particle. And around it layers grow and it becomes a pearl. That's what the natural pearl is. Now they do it here with sand or whatever degree, whatever you want to do. So they make this artificially cultured pearl, which will be very cheap. Make a fish, feed it. And then they go there, do the fishing. You will catch some of them. And then as he brings out, he says, "Oh my God, you are so lucky. You found the pearl." They will slit it open and, "You are really lucky, sahab. This will be 1 lakh. But you are very fortunate. Gods are very kind unto you. And you can buy it just maybe, you know, 1,000 rupees is fine." If somebody is selling a cheap product, that's the lesson. That, you know, nirvana in 5 days, transformation in 7 days, courses, 2,000 rupees, 5,000 rupees, be careful. Real pearl is real pearl. You have to dive deep. Okay, so this is the last analogy, the mother of pearl. The mother of pearl is different and the pearl is different. So this is another analogy which is given. So this is where we had stopped. So the question remains that is there a relation between this so-called illusion, whichever way we take it, that even if we take the closest one between the mud and the pots or the gold and the gold ornaments, is there really a relation between the two? What is this force which has come and turned them into ornaments? And why, if they are all going to be temporary and transient? So with this background, we'll read that last bit from the Cosmic Illusion, page 454. Where Sri Aurobindo summarizes, very beautiful about Sri Aurobindo. Every chapter, first couple of passages will be, he will take up the previous chapter. Give us a little summary. He is really a wonderful teacher. So really, if one wants to learn teaching, he is the teacher. And then at the end, he will again summarize for all of us. So after dealing with different aspects of possibility, and they must be read, not just summary, because it helps us to grow in so many ways. This went in the base of Indian civilization. Why Indian intelligence developed in such a way that today software is only one example? Because at the root of it, this was the method pursued. Not belief. There is a religion, you believe there is God and he does this. No. You question, you answer. This is the only religion in the deepest sense. Now, of course, religion, spirituality, we must differentiate. But which proceeds with question answers. It's not a belief system. It allows you to question. There is a difference between question, where there is a de novo wish to deliberately destroy. That is not the idea. Question is seeking. You're seeking. And therefore, to the seeking, there comes an answer. The whole of Gita is question answer. And Sri Aurobindo, being Sri Krishna in his modern avatar, he is following the same procedure in the life divine. The difference is, where will be the Arjuna who will raise the question and has the patience to answer? Even Sri Krishna says at the end of the Gita, rather one of the times when he is asked, he says, "I can't tell you that all that again." It is a moment of super consciousness in which he gave. And it was meant as a quick guide to mankind. But there are many unanswered questions. So Sri Aurobindo comes back and finishes the unfinished work of Sri Krishna. In many ways he has done that. And one of them is, he raises the question and then he gives the answer. Because we have lost all the questions. So page 454. This then is the dual possibility that arises before us. There is, we may suppose, an original consciousness and power creative of illusions and unrealities, with mind as its instrument or medium in the human and animal consciousness. So mind becomes the Maya, instrument of Maya, which is constantly creating images out of the material it receives, like the person who is making ornaments out of gold, is mind. So mind becomes ultimately the creator of images and therefore the illusion maker. This is one possibility. So that the differentiated universe we see is unreal, a fiction of Maya, and only some indeterminable and undifferentiated absolute is real. This is one possibility. Or there is, we may equally suppose an original, a supreme or cosmic truth consciousness, creative of a true universe, but with mind acting in that universe as an imperfect consciousness, ignorant, partly knowing, partly not knowing. So here now there is, the mind becomes the student. And there is the original consciousness, the teacher. And it says, make A, write A, or write whatever word. And we all know what happens in the beginning. You want to make a chapati and you end up making a mango. Because that's how, you know, mind is ignorant. It has received the command. There is the truth of the chapati. There is the truth of circle. But the child does not know how to make it. Now it changes the perspective. The child who does not know is making a distortion can be corrected and perfected. That's what ultimately Aurobindo comes to. This creation is a distortion. And therefore it can be corrected or perfected. So this is the second part. Capable of error. So there is a mind which is a mediator. A consciousness which is by its ignorance or limitation of knowledge capable of error. Misrepresentation, mistaken or misdirected development from the known of uncertain groupings towards the unknown, of partial creations and buildings, a constant half position between truth and error, knowledge and nescience. Very simple. One is mind is the creator, second is no. There is something else, mind is a student learning. And it will make mistakes. So see how liberating this is just to think about it. Because otherwise we are constantly swinging between papa and punya. Right and wrong. But if we understand, as Aurobindo writes in Savitri, one who has made this world is ever its lord. He is a lord. Mind is only a mediator divinity. Our errors are his steps upon the way. The same child who cannot make it properly will make a beautiful drawing tomorrow. Our errors are his steps upon the way. He works through the fierce vicissitudes of our lives. He works through the hard breath of battle and toil. He works through our sins, our sorrows and our tears. Whatever the appearance we must bear. His knowledge overrules our nescience. How it overrules? It keeps correcting. No, this is how you have to do it. And he has the perfect patience, as Aurobindo says, of the divine father and the perfect love of the divine mother. So he keeps correcting slowly. Endlessly. Once somebody asked Aurobindo, why do you give such a long rope to all your disciples? In fact, he says, such a long rope that he can hang himself at the end of it. He says, why do you give such a long rope? He says, because that is the only way Superman can be created. You cannot create Superman by drawing a line and saying this, that. So it's one of the ways. Creation itself evolves through that process. So mind is a mediator here. But this ignorance in fact proceeds, however stumblingly, upon knowledge and towards knowledge. Where is the knowledge of the mind? Like a child, teacher. Make a circle. It has a circle in the mind. And it explains everything so beautifully. There is a song like that, no? Galti se mistake. So, you know, a person who is afraid of mistakes, who wants to always, and you know what people do? They end up trying to please others. There is a whole psychological problem. People pleaser. very dangerous, means it's a sad thing. Because people pleasers don't grow. They become like chameleon. Somebody else, oh, he'll be pleased by that. So they'll come to, when they are in front of the Lord or something which represents, they will do all the mantras and all. Then they will come out, they'll be a politician. Sir, 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 you are the one. So they are pleasing everybody. So people pleaser. So here he says that his knowledge overrules surnescience. Because the teacher is there. He is constantly informing the mind in the highest layer. And as it comes, we make mistakes and we grow through them. However stumblingly upon knowledge. So there is something beyond the mind and behind the mind. It is inherently capable of shedding the limitation, the mixture, and can turn by that liberation into the truth consciousness, into a power of the original knowledge. This is the basis of the life divine, the real practice of the yoga. We start with ignorance. We make mistakes. Each one makes his own. Don't look at others' mistakes. Normally we say, look at that person. See your own. You know, each one will have his own quota. And then, because when we open to the mother, she is beyond the mind, the power, not just the knowledge beyond the mind as Brahman, which is beyond. The power. So it will keep informing, keep instructing. From within the change will begin. This is not how it should be. Slowly, slowly everything in us will start getting tuned to what the Shakti wants. So what is Maya here? Maya is the figure which has created these limited, limited chinna chinna beings. Beyond the Maya is the Shakti. Behind Maya is the Shakti. Not just Brahman. Brahman, one with the Shakti. So here is the first secret he gives. Our inquiry has so far led rather in the second direction. That yes, it's not just an illusion, but there is, the mind itself is evolving. And that's why humility is so important. People who are arrogant because they have, you know, their mind, for some reason, either they did well in their school or college or whatever it is, they begin to believe that mind is ultimate. My mind, that too, mind is ultimate, one can still understand. My mind, arrogance. So it stops any further knowledge. Whereas humility, okay, abhigyatam vijanata, abhigyatam abhijanata. There is so much more. So they open in very easily. And then when that which is beyond takes a, that power takes a human form, the mother, it becomes so much easy. Because mind is still dealing with form, so it becomes so much easier. A problem exists, but it consists in the mixture of knowledge with ignorance in our cognition of itself and things. And it is the origin of this imperfection that we have to discover. So, problem is no more that this is illusion, and there is reality. Problem is no more that this is ignorance, there it is knowledge. But here itself there is a mixture of knowledge and ignorance. And therefore the mixture can be removed, purified, perfected in every way. So this is the basis, and with that we enter into the next chapter. Chapter 6, Reality and the Cosmic Illusion. So what really is this reality? What is its relation? And Shobindu now takes us step by step, and he has cleared a part, as he says, but so far we have only cleared a part of the foreground of the field of inquiry. This is important, and all those who want, you know, it should be read again and again. This is the mistake India has done for 2000 years, and I only hope, wish, pray that we don't do this. It's better to perhaps just deal with matter as if there was nothing else. At least we'll do something. Because matter is also divine in its origin. But to discard this whole field of experiences, Maya, is a big block. And most people carry, still we have that ultimately a double life. You go to the sannyasi and everything, and then you go into the world where you deal with practical things. In sum, whether the universe is a figment of consciousness imposed on our mind by supreme force of illusion, or a true formation of being experienced by us with a still ignorant but an increasing knowledge. That's why one of the things, you see, the other day someone was telling me how her parents, they would not eat some of the things, but they made the child eat everything. And the children, no, you eat everything. Now they began to like everything. Unlike my mom who would give me only what I like. So I have a problem. So you see, there is always a possibility that mixture of knowledge and ignorance means you can actually get rid of the ignorance. There is a way. And you may start liking everything. Now here it's about likes and dislikes. But if there is a mixture, it can be got rid of. So very often, like another common example, in India, I think we have two extremes, one India, another West. So in India, if children said, I am in love, this is not your age to love. Wait, when you grow up, take a job, you get married. So they got confused. Marriage equal to love. Not at all, but they believed that. That created so much chaos. It's wonderful if the two can be the same. It will be wonderful. But very often, they, you know, dissonance. So they never knew what love is. It was just a stereotypy. Love means a woman should do this. Love means a man should do this. No, one never knew love. On the other hand, look at the Western world. Do whatever you feel like. You are in love, okay, great. What is love? I must have a child, I must enjoy physically. The problem, difficult to say which one is better. But to train and educate what love is, so that by the time they grow up, they understand that love requires so much patience. You cannot love without patience. And then at the end you discover something very marvelous. You stop seeing faults, mistakes. As somebody said very nicely, I forget the origin. See, as long as I am getting angry with you, know that I love you still. Dread the day when I stop reacting. If I become indifferent, that means there is love is gone. So true. So behind anger you see love. Behind irritation you see love. Then what is happening? Slowly a corrective is being put. Now at least you are not reacting the way you are reacting. Because you begin to understand, look here, I mean, it's love. Maybe a distorted love, limited love, all that is there. But there is love inside. There is a possibility, a hope. But otherwise you completely discard the whole field. So this is the challenge, and then Sri Aurobindo takes us step by step. We'll come to page 456. He once again, in that passage, as we said, he will summarize. So he says that the practical, the vyavaharik siddhant of Mayavad, it says there is the reality of things within the magic circle. When you step out, they have no reality. It's like when you are in the cinema hall, you are watching, you are reacting, all that. It's okay, there is validity. But this is not a very good image. Many people use this image. I have a problem with this image. Because, well, the snake there is not real snake. If you are afraid, you can equally say yourself, look, this is not real snake. And you watch it. So nowadays they try to give you the real experience of all this through 3D and 4D and 12D images. They'll compel you to take it that there is a snake. But basically, the way is that, well, there is a reality. If you are stuck in the cinema hall and watching a horror movie by mistake, no sane person, intelligent person will watch a horror movie. It's like, why would somebody want to experience fear? But anyways, there are people of all kinds, variety. And who is watching a horror movie, you didn't know. And suddenly you discover it's a horror movie. You can come out. When you come out, this is gone. So there is a practical truth. That time if you continue to sit, no, it will impact you. So come out of that reality. This is one theory which Sri Aurobindo reminds us. So page 456, somewhere in the middle, he says, all mental cognition depends on three elements. The percipient, who is perceiving? The perception, what is the process, what is being perceived, and the thing perceived or percept. And you see, this changes everything. We have our own judgments about people. There is a very nice saying of Sri Aurobindo. A saying means, right, of mother. It was, I think, 1950, April Darshan. This was given as a message, 24th April. The ordinary person, something to this effect, but the crux is there. They judge the master by the disciples. Oh, such horrible disciples. But those with wisdom, they judge the disciples by the master. It's a subject of meditation. What does Tulsidas say? He says something very similar. He says, Ram so Swami Kusevak Moso. Master like Rama and an ignoramus, useless servant like me. So what does it prove? Many people say, oh, this kind of disciple. What does it prove? See, there are two ways of looking at it. One is horrible, horrible, horrible. The other is, what a grace, what love, mother's love and mother's grace. Who can take all kinds of people together, put them together? Actually, in the ashram, maybe it's a little, but actually, first time I saw, realized my personal experience of what is mentioned in Ramcharitmanas about Rama. Rama is described, and because it was one of her prayers, and we read as a prayer, you say things, you don't know what it means. He says, Ganika Ajamil Vyad Gidh Gajad Khaltare Gana. Ganika, the harlot, the prostitute. Ajamil, the butcher. Vyad, the hunter. Gidh, the vulture. Gajad, we know the whole story. Totally was lipped in his life. Khal, dust, wicked. He says, such is your grace that all these people you liberate. See, it changes the perspective. Because the moment you know that who is the master, once somebody was carrying dishes in the dining hall on the head, one of the disciples in the ashram, and someone remarked, hey, Kuli! People are of all kind. Hey, Kuli! So he turned back with all the dishes. He said, Har Kuli! Har Kuli! Har Kuli, we all know. He is a man who did the impossible feats. It changes the whole thing. It doesn't matter what we are and all this. I mean, we have to change. All that is fine. But the fact that, and that's why one of the things Sri Aurobindo mother speaks of it when Mridu had died, 1951, and she saw Sri Aurobindo's symbol over the forehead, and then she said, Sri Aurobindo told her, came to take her, that she will come to me. Then she's asking him, her too? She had her own difficulties of nature. Though she would make nice food for Sri Aurobindo, insists that he eats, but very obstinate, hearty, you can't reason out, even mother couldn't reason out, only she would listen to Nalnida. And Sri Aurobindo says, yes, whoever leaves his body here comes straight to me. Now, just to make it clear, because many people then hear this and ask, sir, what about us who are outside? Ashram in 1957, mother has said, now is not confined here, but wherever there are people who are turned towards this teaching, that becomes the subtle ashram or the bigger ashram. Much has been spoken and written about it. But basically it is here that it's not about what we were doing, not doing. Who are you? That's what Hanuman says. When Ravan catches him, he says, Markat, you are a vanar. I'll crush you. Maybe you have some powers. He says, see, I don't know. I am a Markat. Okay, agreed. But don't forget, I am Ramadut. And therefore, Atulit Baladhama. A That's what comes in Hanuman. Rama Dut Atulita Baladama. He says, don't forget the first part. If you forget it, then you are in trouble. So this is the, he is reminding us that what is it that is has perceived this creation? Is it just an individual? We created this? It's really so stupid. Human mind, much before that creation has come into existence. Percipient, who had perceived? And then the percept, what is it? Okay, I can say it is all mental imagination. But the hills, the mountains, the cosmic soup was much, 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 much before human beings even came into existence. It existed. And it will exist even after Pralaya is gone. So he says, it is possible to affirm, if all the three are rejected as instruments of a cosmic illusion, the farther and consequent question arises, is there then a reality outside them? And if so, what is the relation between the reality and the illusion? If all this is an illusion, then Buddha is right. Probably there is no reality. See, that's why leap of faith. So there was a man who was, you know, from a tree he suddenly fell. The branch broke. And suddenly he doesn't know where to hold. And it was, the tree was on the edge of a cliff. So he ended up holding the cliff. And now he's on the cliff, holding it with his two hands. Doesn't know what to do. He says, God, help. So he heard a voice. Hello, let go. What is this? He says, God, help. Again he hears, let go. He says, is there somebody else out there who can help me? And then what was the trick was that below the cliff there was a jutting rock. He could have just let go and come onto the rock. But he doesn't see that there is an invisible guidance. That the story is about. Invisible guidance in life. That's why we have hope which carries us. But otherwise there is no guidance outside. There is only, this is all illusion. So that's why you see people who take to that approach, Gyan Yoga, there is no like guidance, love, surrender. They accept it sometimes as a vyavarik thing. And some people take it very seriously. They'll do the puja, they'll be gods, but they're all temporary. Within this magic circle, beyond it, none of this is real. So that's how, and one more passage, then we'll stop. It is possible to affirm the reality of the percept of the objective universe and deny or diminish the reality of the percipient individual and his perceptive consciousness. And that's what we all know. It's much easier. A traditional, typical materialist will say, well, this is real. I see it, know it, experience it. If he is more developed inwardly, he'll say, but I don't say that, you know, I am seeing everything as it is. But there is some truth in it. It helps. Is there percipient consciousness? It denies the reality of individual soul, denies the reality of Brahman. I have a very simple answer to these people when I have met them. They say, no, there is no God, there is no soul, all this is all bunkum or whatever. So I just address them. Hello, Mr. Neuron. Everybody has a name, you know, and they are terribly attached to the name. What did you say? I'm just talking reality in your terms. You are just a bundle of neurons. Now you are caught. You are trapped in your own. All this is unreal. Why you are saying I am Mr. So and so? I could call you by any name. I could call Jack Jill and Jill Jack. What difference? There is no reality of all this. This is just a temporary thing. Nothing truth about it. So there is this thought has come in a way. So he says, matter consciousness in the theory of the sole reality of matter consciousness is only an operation of matter energy in matter. A secretion or vibration of the brain cells, that's what I was referring to. A physical reception of image and a brain response, a a reflex action or a reaction of matter in the contact or to the contact of matter. This was so painful, horrifying. As a psychiatrist, when some of my colleagues said, no, no, actually love is nothing, it's serotonin. It's my God. Really, because later on you understand this is an instrument, there is a processing process, but process is not the originating truth. Process is everywhere. When you give a flower, it is love expressed. Equally, you may withhold giving a flower and there is love. People may say, why? See, I cannot measure, as Keats has said, no. I cannot give you what men call love. I can do nothing of this. Very beautiful poem. Expression is not equivalent to love. Love exists as an independent reality. And finally, we'll close with this. This finally, finally, because I keep saying one more sentence, another one pops up. So the second is matter. But if matter turns out to be itself unreal or derivative, simply a phenomenon of energy, as seems now to the probability, then energy remains the sole reality. Probably energy. This many scientists agree that yes, what we call God is energy. But then still you cannot understand consciousness ultimately. Let's skip that whole passage. Third is that consciousness is the reality. Because this energy is being directed. It's not a random energy which is somehow creating. There is consciousness. So consciousness is the sole reality. But we come back to the same. Consciousness is the sole reality. Energy and all these are mechanisms and processes. This is the modern way of explaining Mayavad. So few lines below. It is indeed possible. It is possible indeed that what is at work is not an energy but a consciousness, as matter reduces itself to energy seizable by us not in itself but in its results and workings. So energy could be reduced to action of a consciousness seizable by us not in itself but in the results of its workings. So we'll stop here and take a break and come back and continue.